Welcome to another edition of Student Sarah Podcast. On today's edition, we have Sarah. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited to be here.
Awesome, awesome. Can you start by telling the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Sarah Kaibi. I'm a recent graduate from New York University Abu Dhabi. I majored in economics and minored in music. Currently, I'm the co-founder of a mental health startup based in the UAE called Peer Minded, which I established with two other NYU AD students.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Fantastic. Can you let us know where you grew up?
So I grew up in the city of Abu Dhabi, specifically around the tourist club area. So right close to, right beside Abu Dhabi Mall and that area.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic. And what type of student would you describe yourself as?
I think to answer the question, I think I need to talk about my high school experience versus my university experience. So in high school, I think I was a very confident student. I was very outspoken, very, you know, social, very, you know, active in the classroom setting. I feel like I had no problems with participation and talking with my teachers and all of that. But when I transitioned into university, I was the kind of student who was like mostly quiet in class. I struggled with a lot of anxiety, I think, in my university years, where I always felt like I couldn't contribute to a discussion in class or a conversation in class, or even talk to my professors sometimes. So it differed from class to class, to be quite honest. But it's not at my engagement was not at the level that I wanted it to be. I also struggled with fatigue and migraines and maintaining my attention as a result. So I think, you know, I could have been more of an engaged student, more of a, you know, an active student in the classroom setting. But I think I tried making up for that outside the classroom. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, perfect, perfect. And I think you kind of touched on it with your initiative that you do currently, but you said outside of the classroom, what other type of activities kept you busy during mm-hmm. your time at NYU?
I think, so I was pretty much involved in, I was involved in a lot of different things. So I used to work as an intern in some of the offices in my university, including the Dean of Students office. I had my own podcast, in my senior year, I tried to break this like fear of like communicating with professors and that like intimidation. So it was a podcast circled around professors and their lives and talking to them kind of in a setting, taking conversations with them outside of the classroom setting, sorry. I was also kind of involved in music in certain ways, and involved in sort of artistic kind of programs as well.
Talking about the program, I think that's really important to tie in about how you dealt with your academic experience in high school and university about doing a podcast with professors, because there's always that power dynamic from student mm-hmm. to professor. So that sounds like a really interesting initiative. So inside of the classroom, can you tell us about what you studied? And it's a two-part question, but what did you study and did you always have the intention to study that?
That's a really great question. So I studied economics for the most part. And I minored in music, so it's a combination of that. But given the liberal arts kind of aspect of going to NYU AD and NYU was that I got the chance to take classes really from every field, theater, philosophy, and history and literature and so many other fields as well. So I really got a chance to kind of explore my interests across the different fields. But to answer your question about whether I always wanted to get into the field of study that I'm currently in or that I took in my undergrad. I actually wasn't at all. I didn't even know what economics was before I enrolled in the university. I remember sitting with another freshman in my first year in university and talking to them about, you know, why they were interested in economics and what it really was. And he was explaining it to me and he was telling me about it. And I thought, well, that's a little interesting. Like, I wouldn't mind taking class in it and trying it out. But before starting university, I actually wanted to study neurology and biology. So my intended major was biology in the STEM. So it was quite the transition.
Okay. And do you feel like your interest in neurology and then actually studying economics and then your liberal arts background, how has that shaped you as a person, you know, being well-rounded and just having interest in a lot of different, how does it give you perspective on your environment and the interactions with people?
I think something that I really liked about my liberal arts kind of background was I felt like I lived up to the Arabic saying that kind of goes like, try to take a flower from every garden. I feel like it's very important to kind of know something or know a little bit about every field if you are not sure about your interest or not sure about what you want to do in your future. It's always good to have that knowledge to get you going in life. And I feel like right now, or maybe perhaps before, I used to believe that, you know, in order to become successful, like, you'd have to be very specialized, very specific, very like into one field only. But I think very recently I've moved to believing that a more generalist approach can actually be very powerful as well. So I think having the advantage of taking, you know, political science classes, philosophy, philosophy theater, and classes across the different fields was very helpful right now for me, I think, in knowing what I want to do and knowing what is my niche and what works for me and what doesn't. And also just give me kind of an opportunity to pursue, you know, whatever it is that I'm looking for in the future, because I do have the basic knowledge at least to kind of approaching it and going into that field.
Can you tell us a little bit about Pure Minded and where did you and your team kind of get the inspiration from that? And can you just tell us a little bit more about that in detail?
Sure. So exactly a year ago, I was in a conversation with a few friends from the American University of Sharjah, one of whom graduated a long time ago, and two of whom just recently graduated. And I was just telling them that, you know, like, there is this Ma'an social incubator and they're looking for mental health like startup ideas, and I was very intrigued and I was very excited for it. And I remember we had like a really interesting brainstorm session where we talked about our experiences as students, what we felt like was available, what was missing, and how we struggled in our own ways kind of when it came to our encounter with mental health problems and academics. I think so there was a lot of, I think we circled a lot around about there not being enough support for students and people not knowing enough about what certain mental health challenges can have on a student and, you know, what that kind of implies that they need. So I think based off that conversation, I thought more about it and realized, you know, what would be really awesome, like, if we had a peer support network. So in NYUAD, we actually do have a peer support network that is student-led, and it's called REACH. And I was very inspired by the idea, and I thought, you know, I think it would be a really great idea if we were able to teach youth how to help one another. That would just, you know, have a really great kind of ripple effect. And that's what I saw in our university. People were much more aware of mental health challenges and people were much more informed, and they felt like they could approach these students who were part of REACH to talk about what they're going through. And they, I think from my experience, when I went to REACH, and I think a few times in my university years, I always felt like it was more relatable and it was more like intimate, and I felt more understood because it was another student, you know, it was another student that is going through very similar problems and issues that I was going through. And it felt very validating. It felt very great, you know, having that conversation with someone my age and feeling reassured and being told that, you know, they might be going through something very similar, or it is a common problem. So that's where the idea of peer-minded came about. And I ended up approaching Hafsa Ahmed, who is one of the co-founders. And she was all in. She was like, I'm very, very excited and very interested in this idea. I will work on helping you out from, you know, start to finish. And yeah, peer-minded was born. It was actually Healthy Minds in the beginning, but we changed the name a few months later.
Right. Absolutely. I think, like you touched on, really important is that sense of community and the sense of empathy that people can relate, or students can relate to other mm-hmm. students, that, you know, we're all in this together, and you know, what you're going through isn't just, you know, you. There's people outside of yourself that are going through it. So that's a very powerful initiative. What would you say that your proudest moment in the regards to peer-minded has been so far? And then as far as your life, either academically or professionally, what would you say your proudest moment has been?
I think that's a really great question. I think before I talk about that, I actually quickly want to circle back to the last question, if that's okay. I just quickly want to add that another social issue that we've noticed, I think, among students is that they often felt intimidated to approach a counselor whenever they felt like they were struggling. So we also felt that it would be very important to be able to offer, you know, offers peer support, because students sometimes felt like they couldn't go to counselors or they couldn't go to someone who is more professional. And I think it goes in both, in two ways. One is that, you know, it's just a huge leap. It's a huge step for students to take. And I think the second is just the social stigmas, I think, around, you know, trying to go to a counselor, and people thinking, you know, what if someone saw me, or what if someone saw me going to a mental health, like psychiatry, you know, hospital or institute or hospital. So I think it's also that. And we just wanted to offer a very similar, like, kind of solution, like a mental health first aid sort of thing. So that if someone is feeling very overwhelmed, they have somewhere to go instead of it piling up and then becoming a much more deeper problem that would require a counselor or would require a psychiatrist or psychologist to intervene. So that's part of my response to the last question. I think my proudest moment thus far in peer-minded would have to be seeing our post getting viral. I think that was a very great thing to see. And it was actually, the post was made by our very first intern, who we recruited, I think, 2 months ago now. So it was a really great thing to see, especially coming from our first intern and someone who was a freshman as well. So it was a very, you know, proud moment of her and of peer-minded and seeing, you know, it's kind of grew all of a sudden. So I think that was something really great. I would say educationally, my proudest moment, I think, was finishing up my 4 years without taking any breaks. As much as I felt like I needed a break throughout my 4 years, and I remember having conversations with my mother and my friends, telling them that, you know, I need a gap semester. Like, I cannot do this anymore. It's just too much academics. It's just a lot of stress. And I think I was just going through a rough time. And I think especially in my senior spring semester, when, you know, COVID happened and everything moved online, it was a very, very big shift. And it was a very overwhelming shift. I think knowing that I wasn't going to see my colleagues again, because they came from all over the world and I wasn't allowed to go to campus. So it was a lot. It was a lot of things. So I'm happy that I finished in time and I submitted that capstone and I, you know, did everything that I could.
Right, right, absolutely. And just to circle back on the point that you added before, is once again that dynamic where people are social creatures, and then that's all based upon you know, how people perceive you too, how the outside world perceives you. So that creates like a whole another level of anxiety in regards to actually seeking out help for the mental type of issues that students and just, you know, people in general go through. So that's really powerful. And I'm sure you have some great testimony from that as well. Now you personally, when you're in need of inspiration or just to find a way to recenter yourself, where do you look to, or what type of practices do you implement in your own life?
Mm-hmm. I think right now one of the things that I really one of the resources where I get my inspiration from is just deep conversations with my colleagues and friends. I feel like that's always something that really, really just helps a lot in my day and just gets me going. Recently I've been having a lot of them just because I'm on vacation up until January. So I think it's always nice, like kind of going out with friends and disconnecting from my phone for a bit and just learning from their experiences and, you know, their journey and their lives. And I think that's one aspect of it. I'm also, I've also been listening to a lot of podcasts. I think right now my favorite one is the Ground Up Show by, I keep forgetting, Matt Diavela. So I think just hearing about kind of how he talks about minimalism and how it intersects with things like mental health and, you know, so many other topics as well is very exciting and it's very interesting, and I think there's a lot to learn from him, and I always go back to his podcasts to kind of think about, okay, what is the most important thing in my life right now, what is the thing that I should be focusing all my attention on, and just kind of eliminating all the noises and all the kind of distractions in my life. So I would say minimalism is another thing that I've been very inspired by recently, and I think it's a way of living at the end of the day. So I feel like it just helps organize everything, my thoughts, my life, in a way that is very inspiring.
How do you feel about the future of economics, and how do you feel about the future of mental health and peer support? And even, is there some type of overlap in the two?
Definitely. I think economics is one of the most important fields, especially as we have seen it right now and during the COVID pandemic. I think, so economics essentially is the study of making decisions and knowing what to do and when to do it and what is the most optimal kind of solution given limited resources or scarcity of resources. So I think economics is very important. I think especially as we move towards, you know, a future where we evidently, I think not even a future, but like a present where we are seeing climate change take place and resources are being further limited. And even in this pandemic where we realize, you know, there are a lot of kind of gaps that we need to fill in our economic models and systems in order to kind of address these challenges if they ever were to arise in a most efficient way and in a better way as well. I think there is a lot of room for exploring new economic models for countries and adapting to new economic kind of policies and looking into how best we could kind of tackle these very big problems as we move into the future. So I do feel like it's very important. When it comes to mental health, I think we are moving towards a future where it's being more talked about, it's being more, you know, kind of destigmatized, and people are more aware of the very negative impacts that mental health challenges can have. So I feel like right now we're getting there, and I feel like there's a lot of room when it comes to kind of the intersection of mental health and economics. When thinking about, you know, kind of promoting mental health in the workplace, there isn't really a lot of, I think, policies that help people take, you know, mental breaks or take kind of mental health leaves, or we don't even have like kind of disability insurance for those who struggle with mental disabilities and even social disabilities, let's be honest. And I think a lot of it can be further looked into and further studied and further worked on in public, in the realm of public policy. So I feel like the intersection kind of lies in public policy and maybe even beyond that. But right now I'm seeing it mostly in public policy. And, you know, I think if we were able to kind of really, really look into maximizing kind of or optimizing mental health for workers and students, that we would have a much higher or a much better economy in general. If you think about it, a person who is at a mental state that is better than, you know, someone maybe struggling with more more deep internal issues like depression or anxiety, just generally, I think scientifically is able to do better in their work, in their job. So I think when it comes to kind of efficiency, maximizing efficiency, it does overlap very much so. And I'm very interested in seeing, I think with all the UAE's endeavors to improve the mental health scene via MAN's, you know, social incubator, and very recently all, you know, the kind of decriminalization of suicide, how we can better address mental health in economics and the economy generally.
Okay. And keeping on the topic of moving towards the future, where do you see yourself in regards to the entrepreneurial space and you know, mental health space? Or just in general, what type of pursuits do you see yourself in 5 years from now, you know, at 20, 25?
Mm-hmm. I think by 2025, that's a very difficult question. I feel like especially with the pandemic and with COVID-19, I don't really know what I'm going to do, you know, a year from now, let alone 5 years from now. So I think to answer this question, I'm just going to lay out what I want and what I'm looking for right now, I think, in my future. So I would say, alhamdulillah, I secured a job very recently and I'll be starting in January. So I feel like that would take up, you know, a few years of my 5 years ahead, and it'll be in the public policy realm, which is what I'm very interested in right now. And as I mentioned, as I talked about, I'm very interested in looking at the intersection of mental health and economics, and also mental health and the creative industries and economics as well, given that I am very interested in music, and I actually have grown up as a pianist for a very long time. So I think that is one aspect of what I will be doing, or I hope to be doing. Peer-minded, I'm very, very excited for. I think there is a lot of room for growth and in this market. And I think across the GCC even, so I would love to see it expand to that geographic kind of space as well, and seeing it, you know, being implemented in that way. I think apart from that, I would really love to get a master's in public policy at some point, or evidence-based policy evaluation. That is something that I was planning on doing, I think, in my senior year of university, but I chose getting a job. I think just because I really want the experience and in the labor force in this field before I start my public policy in that, just so I can contribute more to the program and contribute more and learn better, I think. And I think last but not least, I think to kind of talk about the music aspect of things. I've always loved music. I grew up with it. I think I started at the age of 7, and it's something that I really see in my life. And I think the arts in general, I think I just love, and I'm very passionate about the arts generally, and I'm looking to learn more about design and learn more in music, and just expand my experience to other instruments and improve what I already know on the piano and get back to it. I had somewhat of a hiatus in my 4 years of university, although I did keep up my music through my minor, but I really want to be working on it more and get back to it more professionally in the next few years.
Okay, well that's definitely a lot. So maybe for the next question, we could zoom back in. Maybe this will be a little simpler question to answer, but what's like a day in your life like as far as just having so many pursuits and passions, you know? Mm-hmm. What would you say is like a typical day in the life of Sarah?
Ah, okay. That's a good question. I think there is no typical day for Sarah right now, with the pandemic and with COVID and the unexpectedness of everything. But I would say, you know, some fundamental parts to my day are working on peer-minded right now. It's something as a priority of mine. I am currently also a research assistant for CoronaNet, which is this a very big initiative started by one of the university professors. The NYUAD economics, not economics, I think it was political science, professors, Bob Kubinick, and it's a very exciting experience, and we're basically the biggest database on COVID-19 policy in the world, so I'm working on that, I think, kind of on a daily. I think when I'm not working, I try to, you know, listen to a podcast or two every day, listen to music. I think I also recently started working out, which I feel like is a very good kind of, you know, thing to take my mind off of everything on a day-to-day basis. So it's been a week almost, but I've been very well with kind of keeping that up. And I think practicing a little bit. I haven't been doing that, to be honest, for the past few months, but I hope to get back to it. And by practicing, I mean practicing music. I think, yeah, it's pretty much unpredictable. Every day is a different day, to be honest, but these are some fundamental aspects to my day.
Right. Okay, so wrapping things up, I guess the last question that I want to ask today is, what advice would you give or just young, if you had any words of advice?
I think, I think just trying to think of my younger self, I was definitely, you know, the kind of person who was very fearless, who was very courageous, who was very, you know, very excited about doing things that were considered, you know, not like things that were out of the norm. Like I started, for example, playing music and classical music at the age of 8 or 9. So it was something that was out of the norm. I think I would tell myself to kind of explore more out of, you know, kind of out of the box, or out of the things that I liked. I think I always resorted to things that I liked, or did things that I liked, never necessarily, you know, went out of my comfort zone to try something out. So even though I was more like, more excited to try, you know, new things and whatever, like there were things that I liked, but I never tried doing things that I didn't like. Actually, yeah, I think I would tell myself to go more outside of my comfort zone and try things, because that's how I learned in my university years. And although it was a stressful process and it was very, you know, I think it put me in vulnerable situations sometimes. And, you know, you have to kind of embarrass yourself from time to time. Like, it's a very incredible learning opportunity. And I would say to try and invest more of my time in reading, I think. So even though I used to love reading as a kid, I feel like I wasn't doing much of it. And I think I missed out on a lot of learning experiences that could have been found or unearthed through books. Yeah, I think that's what I would tell myself, or at least that's what I think I would tell myself.
Okay. All right. For sure. Well, that'll about wrap it up for today. Thank you so much for joining us, Sara, and we appreciate you being a part of the Student Sara podcast.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me to it. I'm very excited and I'm very honored to have been invited to be a part of it. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes.